Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. You may return back to your seats. Children's church is dismissed for Sunday school. But isn't it great to be in the house of God this morning? Isn't it great that God woke you up this morning? Your car made it here today. Amen, amen. Midwinter was amazing. And I hope that the kids keep this hunger. Zeal lasts for just a short time, but you keep the hunger by continually going into the Word. And I pray that it would continually be in the Word. Amen. So I wasn't prepared for midwinter. I made sure everybody had their suitcases. I made sure everybody's stuff was packed. We left. We're about 2 hours out. And I leave my whole suitcase. I leave my Bible, my tablet, my suit, everything. And so I wasn't prepared for that, but I had to make sure that I was prepared for this. But it's always great when the man of God trusts you to come behind the pulpit that he's given 21 years to. It doesn't sit on you like a pillow, but it's more like you're sitting there holding 7,000 pounds of water when you grab the mic. And I prayed last night at the church and I said, Lord, I don't even deserve to open the door to the church. The things that I've done, the things that I've said, the life that I lived before I came back, I don't deserve any of it. And there's Bible for it. We don't deserve it, but God came back and died for us. Amen. And he's the reason why we have the ability to even praise his name. Amen. So I want to give glory. I want to give honor to Pastor and his first lady. Some people always forget the first lady, but the first lady helps him be who he is. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll turn in the book of Romans. We'll start in chapter 8, verse 28. And I know a lot of people will know this verse, and they'll probably say, I can recite this verse very easily. But a lot of people misrecite this word or this verse. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. If you just put your Bibles down, raise your hands, lift your head, lift your voice. We're all going to pray right now and ask God to touch us today. God, I pray right now, Lord. Lord God, that we can be in one mind and one accord, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we can get a word today. God, that I can preach the word with excellence, God, and that the word will touch the people's heart, God. And God, that they can be encouraged and uplifted, God, by the word, God. Lord, let it not be from me, but Lord, let every word come from your spirit, God, and let it edify the church and let it uplift them, Jesus. And we pray this prayer in your mighty name. Amen. Before you're seated, I want you to look to your neighbor and say, it was for good. It was for good. That's the title of it. You can be seated. The verse that I read in Romans, when you see people use this as their like Facebook post or like they're going through a tough time and they like to use this verse and they make it almost personal to them. And instead of putting for good, they put for our good. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to the purpose. So in the back of your Bible, there's a dictionary. And I like going back there and looking through the words and then going back to the scriptures that they pull each one from and they give you a bunch of different references. But if you go back there and you look up the word good, there's only two words that define the word good, and that is virtuous and honorable. Virtuous and honorable. So if you look at the verse then, back at the verse, and you take out the four and you apply those words instead of saying good, and you say, and now we know that all things work together for the virtuous, for the honorable, and to them that love God, and to them that are called according to the purpose. When you read this, we have this question: what is love? God is love. That's what we hear all the time. The Bible says God is love. 1 John 4:16, it says, and we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and that the dwelleth, if, and he dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. So if you dwelleth in love, or you are showing love, then you are with God, or you're God's people. But the question we pose is, what is love? God is love. So if God is love, then we must strive to be like God. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. And when the Bible says that, it's not saying be perfect, because you can't be perfect. We are nothing but a piece of flesh that will sin daily. The Bible says you fall short of the glory of God daily. Now, is that a word that you should lower your head and be defeated by? Absolutely not. Because it was by the glory of God and his sacrifice that we can even open our eyes the next day and live a life for him. The characteristics to show why God is love, and the definition of love: faithfulness, trustworthy, unconditional, steadfast, peaceful, slow to anger, mindful of our brokenness, forgiving, caring, and true to his word. God does not leave a promise unfulfilled. You may not see the promise, but it will be fulfilled. Each one of these characteristics, you can go back in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and you can find all different things where God was trustworthy, where God was unconditional, where God was steadfast. I tell people the greatest word that you could preach to anybody besides the gospel is your testimony. But why, as Christians, do we use our testimony and think that that testimony is something negative? Well, this is where I came from, so I'll never amount to nothing in the kingdom of God. We do it all the time. Well, I can't preach a word. I can't reach my friend because they knew I drank alcohol. They knew I was an alcoholic. They knew I smoked pot. They knew all of this stuff. So I burned that witness with them, but you didn't. Because God can still change you. He can still turn you. And when they see that change in you, and it's not me saying to them, I'm changed. Because if I look to anybody and I say, I'm changed, that's just my words. What if I was a liar before? They're going to say, no, you're not. You lie. You're lying right now. But it happens through my actions. It happens through how I let God change me, how I walk different, how I talk different. That's what shows them I'm no longer the alcoholic. I'm no longer addicted to drugs. I'm no longer going on the sites no more. I'm no longer doing this. I'm no longer doing that. When they ask you why you fast, you say, because I'm changed. When they ask you why you pray every day, you say, I'm changed. But it's not just your words that change people, it's your actions. Your testimony is for good. It happened for good. A lot of you guys know me, but there are people in the house tonight or today that don't know me. You might look at me and say, oh, he's got his tie on right. He got a nice suit on. He might have the words to say. He had a great life. I didn't. I never knew my dad until the age of 12. And when I did get to know him, he was an alcoholic, and he smoked pot every day. And the only time he showed love was when he was beating you. That's it. My mom, she only cares about herself. And I love my mom 100% with everything in me. And I would do anything for that woman. But I still have to call a spade a spade. You know them by their fruits. I'm not judging her for it, but it wasn't a peaceful lifestyle. Guy in, guy out. Guy in, guy out. Guy in, guy out. Siblings not knowing what to do. Food not on the table. It happens. It's real life. Your testimony is the most powerful thing that you can use to help somebody become saved. To help them be encouraged or have faith that God can do and will do. How many of us have one of those kind of stubborn testimonies where God had to watch you fall on your face, not just once, but multiple times? That's not a bad testimony. It's a good testimony. But I'm also preaching to the people that have been on a church pew their whole life and haven't touched alcohol and haven't touched marijuana and never watched pornography. Your testimony is so much just as strong as everybody else's. Because the testimony doesn't matter where you came from. It matters where you're going. God does not look at you any less because you didn't fall. God is not a respecter of persons. Not one of us can say, I am God's favorite. Even though as people, we would love to be everybody's favorite. If you go, all things work for good, for the virtuous and the honorable that love God. You got to learn to love. Can I be real? How easy is it to unconditionally love? Unconditionally. I don't think we can have unconditional love. I think that's something that God brings into our life. That's something that God has to constantly work with us every day in our marriage, every day in our family, every single day in the school building. I don't believe that we can just wake up and or be born and just have unconditional love, because if you can be honest, there's always a condition on why you love that person or why you love this person. There's always a condition. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being apostolic. There's nothing wrong with being different. There's nothing wrong with believing that in the Bible it says that you should be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. There's nothing wrong with being baptized in the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with walking into your school building in a skirt rather than leggings. And I'm not preaching against, listen, I'm not preaching to those that have not felt conviction from God. But what I am saying is we got to dress modest, because God doesn't want us walking out just in any other way. When we bring attention to ourselves, then we're not giving God glory. Pastor came up to me today and he told me, he said, it feels like as if heaven just opened up and it's pouring out. What I didn't tell him is I prayed last night right at that baptismal. And I put my hand on the baptism. I said, Lord, I said, I want to see people get baptized tomorrow. I knew I was teaching. I knew I was teaching Sunday school and I wasn't going to be in there. But then Cole came back and said, hey, Pastor wants you to come in here. And there were three people baptized this morning. And I prayed and I said, God, I said, I want you to open up heaven and I want angels to pour out and I want everybody to feel the glory of God. And when Pastor came up to me and said that, I said, God, you're a wonderful God. Lord, you're an almighty, all-powerful God. Because there's times in your life where God needs to answer a prayer to give you a little bit more faith. If I can be honest, I'm nervous. I'm absolutely nervous, because when I teach the youth group, those are like my kids. I see them every day. I talk to them all the time. I have that relation with them. So when I come up here, I feel as though I have to work for you guys to understand the word. But today I asked God, I said, God, let me come up there and preach the word with excellence. Let me go up there and preach a word that would touch the hearts of every person in the building. But not for glory for Jerome, but glory to be to God. And when I didn't tell Pastor that, it's because I didn't want the glory. I wanted God to receive the glory for that. The Bible states that we are to be set apart and that we are to be separate. Hell itself can think and tell us to act the same way as the world, to dress the same way as the world, to speak the same way as the world. How can you reach somebody if you're doing the same thing? How can you reach any soul in your school, in your job, in your family, if you partake of the same things? There's got to be times where you say, no, I can't do that. I'm a child of God. No, I can't touch an alcoholic drink because I used to, and I messed myself up doing that. When I told about my testimony, I only touched a little bit on it. But when I got 18 years old, I left the church. And I tell everybody when they ask me, well, who do you think like your life kind of relates as in the Bible? I'd love to say, oh, I'm like David. Well, I'd love to say like, oh, I'm like Samson. I like to work out. But I don't have the strength of Samson. I don't have the wisdom of Solomon. I don't have any of that. I'm not some college graduate with a doctorate degree. I tell people I'm Saul. I was the person that left the church out of bitterness, left the church out of being offended, and then went and ran my mouth, thinking that I can just take control of my own life, my own destiny, and I don't really care what anybody thinks. And I fell on my face time and time and time and time again. And it took me to a point where I was on top of my buddy's house, high out of my mind, drunk out of my mind. And I told myself, this is not worth living for. I'm dying. I'm going to kill myself. I'm done. Because I felt like if I came back, there would be no love. I felt like if I came back, they knew that I was talking about them. They knew that I was sitting there with all my friends saying, don't go to that church. Not unless you're willing to give up everything. Because if you go to that church, God's going to tell you, you got to have nothing. And when Saul became Paul, when his name changed, he said, I'm a prisoner unto God. And now I pray that prayer, boo-hoo, Jerome, I'm a prisoner of God. No, I say, I'm a prisoner of God. I'm not focused on anything else. I'm not focused on anything else but the word of God, my prayer life, my marriage. I'm focused on the youth group. Why? Because when I wasn't focused, I almost died. When I wasn't focused, I almost lost every person that I ever loved. I had people constantly messaging me, constantly telling me, hey, God's going to heal you. God's going to bring you back. God's going to help you. And I just blew them off. My heart was too hard. But when I came back, it was from the glory of God that every person that I was friends with, I was still friends with. They knew that I wasn't talking nice about them. They knew that I wasn't living the right life, but they still hugged my neck when I came in the door. They still gave me a place to live when my mom kicked me out and I made the decision to come back to God. Now, am I saying I'm some perfect person? Absolutely not. I fall short of the glory of God every week, every day. But I pray and ask God, one more time. I pray, can you cleanse me? Cleanse my feet. Cleanse my hands. Everywhere I walk, I don't want to walk with sin behind me. I want to walk whole. I want to walk in the glory of God. There's nothing wrong with living holy. There's nothing wrong with dressing, speaking, or raising your family different than the world raises their family. You can read book after book after book from all the college people you want about how to raise a family. Those are all worldly people who are telling you that you can raise your kids by yourself. You can raise your kids with just being the father or just being the mother. I'm not preaching against people in the house that have that situation, but God didn't set it up that way. The house is to be made whole. I am a testimony of what happens when the house is broken. What happens when somebody decides to not live for God and keep themselves out of the will of God. And the only reason I'm here is because somebody decided to hop on a van and drive into the little trailer park I lived in and said, hey, do you have any kids? My mom was a post lady. He was in the post office at the end of the road and said, hey, do you have any kids? And she got rid of us just because it was like babysitting. But it took that. God already knew. It was for good. God already knew that in that time, that's what I needed. That's who I needed in that time. I didn't have a man in my life that was teaching me how to be a man, how to pay bills, how to have a job. I didn't have any of that. But when I got into the house of God, I had people that were teaching me, hey, you're supposed to do this. Hey, don't dress like this. If you want to look more respectable, and be respected. Because whether we like to believe it or not, people look at your appearance. That's the first thing they see. They don't see anything on the inside. They see all of this. It's the first thing they see. So I had men of God saying, hey, you got to dress like this. Now I could have been like, oh, wait, hold up. That's legalistic. What, you want me not to wear shorts no more? You want me to wear a tie every Sunday? I could have been like that. But I was so hungry for God, I didn't care. If they would have told me to wear flip-flops and a floaty around my waist, I would have done it and ran up and down the aisle saying, I'm a little ducky. I would have done it because I never knew what love felt like. Never knew. Everything that happened in your past doesn't define who you are today. The choice you make today is what defines you. And then tomorrow, the choice you make that day is what defines you. Yesterday doesn't matter. Sometimes you got to go back to fix some things. You got to go back and pinpoint the things that are still that's bringing depression, still bringing anger issues. You got to go back and say, "Hey God, I need you to show me why I'm hurting so much and change that." But let me tell you something. The past doesn't define who you are. There's young people that look up to the old people in the church, the older people in the church. And if every time we come in the house of God, we're just here to have church, clap our hands, and to sing a song, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. We have way too many 5th, 6th, 7th generation apostolics that are more career driven and more about what car I drive and where I'm at in my life than being able to quote scriptures from the Bible, than being able to teach a Bible study, than being able to actually let God change their heart. But that doesn't happen because the child. That happens because the teacher. And the teacher is the mom and dad. And that's the weight that falls on the shoulder of any leader or any mom and dad. If you teach more about finance and how to get good credit and how to get a career and how to make a bunch of money so you can have a nice home, I'm not preaching against any of that. That's great and dandy. You should strive to have great credit. As a Christian, you should. And you should strive to have a good house. Everybody likes a nice house, a nice car. That's great and dandy. But if it comes before the kingdom of God, then it's wrong. You don't have to agree. The Bible says, put first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say, put first my career. It doesn't say, put first everything that I want first. No, it says, put first the kingdom of God. When I got back into church, I told myself, I'm not leaving. I know that's the worst thing that you could possibly do because then the adversary is going to go, okay, watch me. When I first got back in, I said, there's nothing that can take me from this. Because when I came back, God had put the Holy Ghost in me. And I got rejuvenated and I felt good. And I felt like I was where I needed to be. And I said, there's nothing, not a thing the devil can do. The worst thing you could say. Crashed my car, got kicked out. The girl I was talking to thought that she was the one. Randomly just broke it off. Lost everything. I put in 42 applications. McDonald's didn't even hire me. I was homeless. I had a place to live for a short time, and then I'd move to the next. And then for a short time, I moved to the next because the church people, I understand, can only take so much. They can only put so much resources out. I understand that. But I never went without eating a meal at night. And I was able to learn how to play the drums because I was at the church every day. God was giving me a season of me to refocus, to understand. Don't make that kind of phrase come out your mouth when you can't back it up. Now I'm going to take you through a season. A pastor said to me, I still have the recording. He said, you need to just stick close to me. Stay close to me. And that's what I did. Anytime he wanted to go out to go preach somewhere or they called him to go preach, can I drive you? Hey, can I come with you? Hey, can I go to the PI thing you're going to go teach? Because I knew that I needed to be close to the man of God. Because whether I like to admit it or not or believe it or not, I am just like him in every way. Absolutely. But in every way, I'm a pusher. I ask Nicole, I'm a pusher. If I say I want to get something done, I'm trying to figure out every possible way to get it done so it gets done that night. It might be midnight. We can get it done. In the name of the Lord, we can get it done. It'll be all right. We can sleep tomorrow. If you feel called, then you must learn to love. just like God loves. And you must lean upon the Lord to keep that kind of love. Because it's very easy not to unconditionally love. We all have conditions. Well, if they say this to me, I don't like them today. If they even touch the nerve of something from my past, I'm not talking to them today. It's very hard to unconditionally love. But understand, if you want things to happen for good, you got to be able to deal with everything in the middle. Everything in the middle. Whether that's God taking you through another trying or testing season, you got to be able to understand that that is not God hating you. He's not departing from you, but he is still right there with you. He's just making sure, hey, you got to learn a few things. I went out to breakfast once with Pastor. I'll never forget it. I won't dump this out, I swear. But he took a little cup that had the creamer in it, little creamer stuff, stuff that we like to just drink at the table. Every kid's done it or every adult's done it at least once. But he took it and he said, you know what ministry is? I said, what? I was very enthused because I knew kind of where he was going, but I didn't know everything. Like it blew my mind. He said, you see this stuff in here? Pour it out. Put it back on the table. So this is ministry. He said, God takes everything from in here, everything that you thought, oh, this is me. My character flaws, this is me. People just got to live with that. Or my depression, my anxiety, all this stuff. That's me. We live with it and we think, oh, that's just me. People just got to be okay with me. No, they don't. You're not going to make anybody or persuade anybody to Jesus by saying, oh, just live with who I am. So God dumps it out, puts it down, cleans it out, and fills it with what he wants to fill it with. And you're no longer you, but you're God's. And he uses you. Hey, go here. You're there. You go there. Go there. Hey, stay after and clean. Okay. Hey, you can't do this because that takes too much time away from your prayer life. You can't do this or stay right here. And I'll never forget that. Because everything that I do, I try to do a bunch of stuff. I don't know if Pastor knew this, but I took jiu-jitsu for a little bit. It was just something I would do every Tuesday and every Thursday. For probably, 4 months, Nicole? I wanted to learn something. I wanted to learn how to, you know, if somebody would just come up to my wife, slap her, I don't want to get manhandled, okay? Okay. They would have to be like Goliath to pick me up because I'm 230 pounds. But I don't want to get manhandled or knocked out. So I was like, oh, I'll just do jiu-jitsu. And I enjoyed it. At the beginning of this year, God told me, I was sitting right there when Pastor was preaching. You knew you weren't supposed to do that. I felt sick to my stomach. I'm like, man, I didn't go play college ball. I ain't do this. I ain't do that. I got in that mindset like all of us do. All of us get in that mindset. Oh, here's another thing. I got to give up for Jesus. The disciples had to give up everything and follow Jesus. Had to give up everything. They were on a boat. Well, two of them were on a boat with their father. Cast their nets down and left their father. What bigger thing can you leave? That's family. It happens. But we get in that mindset where, oh, I got to give this up again. And I can't do nothing. But that's when God had kind of showed me. You kind of live a life just like Saul. You were there. You did exactly what he did. You persecuted. You were rude. You were talking about the people, the man of God, the people of God. That's what you did. But now you came back, and now you have to try to just stay focused. Last time I preached here, I said I was in this little box, and I felt like I wanted to get out, but God's just keeping me in this little box. I'm learning to live in the box. I'm learning to live in the box. There's times where me and Nicole might get in a little debate, a little argument, and I could raise my voice. I could choose to name call. I could choose to be mean, but instead I just say, you know, I love you. I wake up in the morning, I kiss her on the cheek, and I say, I love you. Is that, that's a form of me trying to have unconditional love. Do you think it's easy? It's not. It's not easy when you're upset. It's not easy when you feel justified. It's not easy because your flesh always wants to tell you, hey, you can hate that person. You cannot like this person. You can treat this person less than. We're all equal. All of us are equal. All of us have flesh. All of us have flesh. And no matter how high you get spiritually, whether you're the president of the UPC and you're preaching everywhere, that just means the fall is so much harder. The flesh that you deal with every day, it makes us even playing field. I don't look at myself as anything better than any of you guys because I get to hold the mic. You're a child of God. You're going to deal with things. It falls on the just and the unjust. But I'm here to encourage you and help you understand, just because you're going through a season, just because you're going through all of this stuff that you might think is for bad, it's not. It's for good. It's for good. It's not for our good. That's not what the Bible says in any translation. Go home and look it up. I went through, my Bible app has every translation, and so you can just go through all of them, and you can just see. And every one of them just say, for good. That's the only one that they don't change, is just the for and good. But all the other words kind of change a little bit. It's not for our good. It's for the betterment of the kingdom. That's what it's for. You sacrifice for the betterment of the kingdom. You give your time, you give yourself for the betterment of the kingdom. If you'd stand. The worship team can get ready. But I want you guys to understand, your testimony is the most powerful thing. The most powerful thing. I had a kid just come in. And I told him, I said, you remind me of me. He's like, what? Little black boy, first time he came to youth group. I told him about Midwinter. I told him about the service. He was like, okay, cool. I told him about scene 75, like the after event. He's like, okay, cool. I was like, but we're getting fried chicken on Saturday. His face lit up. He's like, oh, bet. And you should have seen him eating the chicken. He was, I wish I had got it on video because he's got a big personality. And I think I have a big personality. So I told him at the altar on Friday, I said, you're just like me. I said, you got a mom in your life, and you got your little sister, but you don't have a dad. You probably deal with a bunch of insecurities because you have to step up so much. You have to grow up, and you can't be a kid. And some people will always call you annoying or always say that, you know, you're not fun to hang around because you can be just too much. Sometimes that's because they were never able to be a kid. And I told them, I said, when you're with us, be a kid, man. I said, we got plenty of adults here. Be a kid. You want to dance around? You want to laugh, joke? Do that. Because right now, you don't have to be an adult. Be a kid. Your testimony is powerful. Don't ever forget that. If God's touched your heart today, the altar is open. I pray that everyone comes up here that God's tugged on. And I pray that you remind yourself. Ask God to remind me of my testimony, not for bad, but for good. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Why don't we come and let's talk to the Lord for a few minutes tonight. Praise God. The Lord knows what He's doing in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to Him for a couple minutes. Tell Him what's going on in your life. Tell Him you're going to trust Him through transition. You're going to trust Him through trial. You'll trust Him through tribulation. Talk to Him. Tell Him you're going to trust Him. Because He knows what He's doing.
We want and all we need is found in Jesus. is more of you.
Yes, the Lord is good.
Yes, the Lord is good forever.
Moments, he's good, and he's being good to some people right now, as he always does. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He's good, his mercy endures forever. There's nothing you could do that would put you out of God's reach. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing that he can't heal. There's nothing that he's unable to restore. There's nobody that he's unable to love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, restore us, we pray, O God. Restore us, we pray, O gracious Father. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Brother Troy come and close us in prayer. I appreciate what Brother Drone had to share with us. I do want to make it known, though, that wasn't me that told him he can't ever put shorts on. I don't know what he's talking about. And that wasn't me that told him he had to wear a tie. Now he's on a platform, he's got to wear a tie, that's for sure. So you probably have ugly legs anyway. Man, I just tell you, it's been good so far to be in the presence of the Lord for two services. We got one more to go, and God is good. David closed the 23rd Psalm and said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen. See, David went to church all the time. He said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He was in church all the time. I'm just kidding. Brother Troy, come pray.
Would you just throw your hands towards heaven one more time and pray? Lord God, we pray right now that this word does not return void. Lord Jesus, we pray that it be forever settled in the back of our minds. Lord Jesus, we pray that you give us, each and every one of us in this building, peace that passes all understanding and knowing, that every storm, every trial, Lord Jesus, every valley, every mountain that we might go through, Lord Jesus, is for the good of your kingdom. I pray that as we leave this place, that you encourage us not to have our head down because of the things that are happening around us, but to have our head up, for whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord God. In Jesus' name, give us encouragement as we leave this place, and knowing that you're still doing a work in our lives, that you're still healing, that you're not finished yet, that if the work was good when it started, it's going to be good when it's finished. In Jesus' name, touch our hearts and our minds. minds today. And let us leave here different than we came in, with a glow on our lives and a glow in our countenance in the name of Jesus. God, restore your church in this hour to what you've called it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.